That it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to understand your word. We pray, Lord, you'd make us better parents. We pray, Lord, as children, we'd be better children. We pray, dear Lord, that you'd build strong families that bring honor and glory to your name. And Lord, we'd pass on to our children what you've given to us. And I pray, Lord, you'd give me freedom and ease to speak, to preach, to teach as only you can give. And I ask you to give glory to your own name this day. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, many times I've been asked by people to speak on children. How do you raise children? And what does the Bible have to say about it? Every once in a while I'm just asked, you know, what does the Bible say about a family? What does the Bible say about home? What does the Bible say about sin? What does the Bible say about sexual? What does the Bible say about various things? And you're asked continually. I've been asked over my life lots and lots of questions. I remember as I was a young preacher, the main thing I concentrated on was salvation. I preached salvation morning, noon, and night in almost every meeting that I had. And I was doing my best to win people to the Lord, and I won some people to the Lord, and I'm thankful for that. And then I came to the place in my ministry, I realized that I would, because many of the people, the majority of the people sitting listening to me Sunday after Sunday were already saved. They were already saved. And then I found out that I needed something from the Bible. I needed something to straighten my marriage out. I needed some directions and other things. And I found the Bible had the answer. I have found in all my life that the Bible does have the answer. It's got the answer to every problem that I find. It's got the answer that I need. And I had a book that I believed in, and so I began to apply it to other areas of my life. And some people have asked me to preach and teach on children, and that's what I'm doing. For this month, however long it takes, 3 or 4 weeks, whatever it'll take, I want to teach you what the Bible has to say about raising children. And I start right here in the New Testament. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. If you're a young person here today and you're questioning whether or not you ought to be obedient to your parents, and I mean there's a lot of children's rights generation out here today, there's an awful lot of people telling you that you've got your own rights and that you don't have to obey your parents. I want you to know the best thing you can do is be an obedient child. Amen. Are you a Christian child? You're a Christian young person? Then the best thing you can do is control some of your desires, control some of your pride, control some of the things that are driving you, and you obey mama and you obey daddy. They're not telling you things just because they want to be mean to you. They're doing their best to help you out. Now, children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is right. Obey your parents, Lord. This is right. So let me say to you mothers and daddies, when you make your children obey you, this is right. There are a lot of parents that believe, because of some of the teaching that they've received, that if you really love your children, you don't spank them. That if you really love your children, you let them have their way. If you really loved your children, you wouldn't keep them from doing the things they want to do. If you really love your children, that's not true.
Amen.
That's not true. If you love your children, you want your children to have a future life that's better than what the average person has. Yeah, if you love your children, you want them to be obedient so they don't end up going to jail somewhere down the line. You can look at a lot of these people in jail, and I'm not saying everyone that's there, but there's a whole lot of them there because they simply were not controlled in the home. And one of the problems with the divorce homes, the single parent homes that we have today, and there's much of that around, and it may not be your fault that you're in that situation, but it's a situation that's there. A young woman working two jobs just to put food on the table and try to live and take care of a few kids at home, and bless your heart, that kid doesn't have the supervision it needs. A daddy by himself trying to raise family. Those kids don't have the supervision and they get themselves in trouble. It's not just preachers telling you this. I'm telling you the schools tell you this. The courts will tell you this. People are in trouble today because kids are raised up without the supervision that they need. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is right. This is right. You'll know some right things. Children, you obey your parents, and parents, you make them obey. Please don't come up to me and you got one this high and tell me he just won't obey me. That is garbage. You haven't got a will big enough to whip that one? Boy, wait till he gets to be 16. I'm telling you the truth. I don't want to hurt your feelings, any of you, but I'm telling you, boy, if you can't take care of them right here, they're easy here. That's easy. It's going to get tough. When they get about 16 and start driving a car by themselves, you're going to lay home crying nights. Where are they tonight? Or do they have enough sense? Have I taught them right? I mean, are they going to get themselves in trouble? Are they going to get hit by some stupid drunk on the road? Boy, your troubles are coming. You think, oh, these lovely little kids, little angels. Oh, your troubles are coming, man. Hang on. Fasten your seatbelt. I mean, the ride's going to get rough. I mean, this is a roller coaster ride. And before you get through raising all these kids, you never get away from them, do you? You don't ever get away from them. Shoot, I'm still supporting all of mine. I'll turn to go to mission field. I got to end up taking care of them. Come back home, live with me all the time, you know. Eat my groceries and sleep in my bed, make me sleep on the floor. I mean, man, it's tough. Don't ever get away from your kids. You don't get away from them. Parents, listen to me. Listen to me. You start them out. Let them know who's boss. If you don't, it isn't long, they'll know who's boss. They'll know their boss. But children are in reformatories right now. There's some very handsome, talented, intelligent people in Huntsville right now that are there very simply because mom and daddy didn't have the willpower to control it. It's right for children to obey their parents. It is right for children to obey their parents. It is right, parents, to make your children obey. I've answered some people ask me sometimes, well, why do I have to do this? Just because I said so. Well, that's not very caring. Well, maybe I've explained it 3 times. You don't know how many times I've explained it. Just because I say so. Daddy may not be always right, but daddy's always daddy. Right or wrong, daddy's daddy. And there's not a daddy in the world that's not going to make mistakes. Not a single one. And not a husband that's not going to fail as a husband. Not a wife not going to fail as a wife. Not a mother that's not going to make mistakes. Not a woman. But that doesn't take you away from still being daddy, still being mama, still being husband, you still got your responsibility. And bless your heart, there's some of these things that you get into, there's just no getting out of. There's no getting out of. What are you going to do? Put it in a trash can and forget it? No, forget it. You can't do that. Kick them out of the house when they're 11 because you can't control them? No, you can't do that. Buddy, you're stuck, so you better make the best of it. Make your bed and sleep in it. Make the best of it. He said right here, children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is right. It's the right thing for parents to demand it and to expect it. It's the right thing for children to do it. That's the word of God, just as simple as I know how. Now, children says to you, honor your father and mother. Honor your father and mother. Needs to be some respect there. Needs to be that honor. If for no other reason, they're your father and mother. They may be very weak. They may have failed you miserably in a lot of ways. You may know somebody that does things or looks like you, does it a whole lot better than they do it. Has a better house, has a better job, did a better thing, smarter than whatever they are. Honor your father and your mother. Then it says, verse 4, and your fathers. And that's where I'm going to start. This is the introduction of the family. I want to start, you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. There's been a movement for a long time that it's the mama's job to raise the children. Daddy's the breadwinner, mama raises the children. Because we got a few Mr. Moms around here now, you know. But the truth of the matter is, there's an awful big attitude in a lot of men's minds and a lot of churches. We see a lot of men in this church. I'm thankful for that. I think there's a reason or two for it. But I pastored for 31 years. I've been preaching the gospel and pastoring churches and whatever. And I've been in lots of churches where there weren't many men. And you go out and deal with these men, these big, macho, tough men. Churches for women and children. Raising the kids is for the wife. My job? Hunting, fishing, and living a big, tough life. You know, I'm Mr. Macho. Yeah, little old stuff like raising kids, that's woman's work, you know. Let me tell you what, he didn't say, and you mothers. He said, and you fathers. Amen, that's good discipline. Take him out, spank him good, love him again, and bring him back. Good advice. Don't take him out on the third cry. Take him out on the first cry. Amen? Don't make us put up with your spoiled kids. Amen? Teach them how to cry quiet. Amen? Those are good lessons. I'll teach you all of them before I get through. You fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. You fathers, bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I want you to know, I realized one day as I looked at this Bible, I had some of the same macho ideas that a lot of people had. My wife changed my mind on several of them. One of the first ones I realized was I wasn't going hunting without her. If I was going fishing, she was going fishing. You know, I can stay home, raise your kids, change your diapers, and clean your clothes. I'm going with you. You're going to have fun. I want to have fun. You're going to swing through the trees. I'm going to swing through the trees. So I learned a long time ago that I could make it anywhere and take my wife and kids with me. And they traveled with me all over. Brother, we've been to the mission field. We've climbed volcanoes. We've slept out on riverbanks. We slept out on the sides of the road in Mexico, crossed Mexico 10 times, go down and have money for a motel. I get some of these bums calling me up wanting me to go put them in a motel and feed them all night and take care of them because they don't want to sleep in their car. I told one of them here just a while back, I said, well, I'll tell you what you can do. You can do what I did. I said, I took my whole family, my wife and all my kids. I slept out on the side of the road crossing Mexico 10 times. He said, you're a liar. I said, boy, you don't know who you're talking to. You're just talking to the wrong fella to call me a liar on that because I've done it. Well, my wife went with me. We've done things together. We took a kid. And you know something? We raised our kids together. You can ask any of her kids. Mama's sometimes tougher than me. Cold, hard, man. Truth, cold woman. Mean. Blow up. Tough. Look at her. Doesn't she look mean? You know something? You fathers have a responsibility. If that house isn't run right and those children are not raised right, guess who's going to meet Christ at the judgment seat? Your kids grow up and go to the devil, guess who's going to answer to the Lord Jesus Christ? You are responsible for what you do. I may not be altogether responsible for my grandchildren, but I guarantee you I'm responsible for mine until they get grown at least. And I may have some fault in whatever they do the rest of their life. And maybe some credit for whatever they do in the rest of their life. But there is a responsibility, and you can't shove it off. All right, I'm the boss. I'm responsible. Wife, raise those kids right. Uh-huh. You yellow-bellied turkey, you. You're going to have to stand up one of these days and realize every tub sits on its own bottom. Every tub. You're not going to ride along with somebody else. You are going to be responsible. So you better do the best you can because I promise you, you'll never get away from your kids. Say what you want to. I've had people come to me down the line. The kids are grown. The kids are giving them all sorts of trouble. They'll tell me, oh, Brother Lindell, you just don't know. I've done everything right. And they've all turned out wrong. I don't believe it. You hear me? I don't believe it now. I didn't believe it then. I didn't believe it when I started with this book. I don't believe it. You know what I remember back? I had a woman, had an 18-year-old son, and he was giving her all sorts of trouble, and she came to me and said, oh, Brother Lindell, you want me to cry. Let me tell you what, I don't run a nursery here. That upsets some of you. Brother Lindell, I'm crying. Why don't you come wipe my nose? I'm sorry. I don't have time for you. Tell you what to do, help you out. I'll cry with you sometime. I'll pray with you sometime. But man, don't come to me on some crybaby stuff that all you need to do is get right with God on. Do what's right. Amen. Come to me and tell me, well, I raised him right. I took him to church. I remember how often you took him to church. I remember how you raised him. Sometimes I've seen it from here all the way to there. Don't think you're going to get away from your race. You're not. And you can tell me 15 years from now I did it all right and it all turned out wrong. And I'm not going to believe it. There are exceptions. There are exceptions to every rule. There are exceptions in every case. That's true. Everybody's going to deal with sin. Everybody's going to deal with problems. Everybody. The very best family, the very best raising, everybody's going to face problems and troubles and difficulties. But my friend, you sow your seed, you're going to reap it. And the habits you have put into those children are going to come back. And you can take those little children and turn them loose and see what they turn out to be. I'll tell you what, you're going to pay the price sooner or later, one way or the other, it's going to come back to you. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. You got a responsibility. Now, let me say something about provoking your children to wrath. I don't know what's about us. You know, when they got these little bitty babies, I don't want to hold them. Don't give me no 3-day-old thing. Head going all around, you know. Man, I'm worried about that thing. Now, when it gets about a year, 9 months or a year, and it's started going around, you know, it's got fat on him, you know, and he's got bones that are fairly stiff, and you can punch him and tickle him, and, you know, yeah, okay. From then on, I think they're great. Little bitty ones, yeah, mama. But you know, something about us men, we gotta watch out about provoking. Amen? Amen. We provoke. We push them. We punch them. We trip them. We get a little bit rough with them. Provoke not your children to wrath. I guess there's something to teasing. And I'm a big tease, so a whole lot of mine, if there's any rebuke on this, I guess I'm gonna have to take some of it. I probably provoked mine to wrath a few times. Maybe more than I should have. And I imagine that most men do something like this, provoke them. And the Bible says, be careful. He mentions that. Why do you think he says, you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath? Why do you think he mentioned it? You reckon he's ever seen it? Reckon it's ever happened? Daddy's pushing too hard. Daddy's shoving. Daddy's expecting some things they shouldn't. Daddy's just going ahead and not taking into consideration other people. I'm boss. I'm head. I'll do as I please. You don't have to understand anything. You need to take into consideration who you're dealing with. You know, some of you treat your kids. You wouldn't treat the people that work for you the way you treat your kids. That's the truth. I'd rather work for somebody than be your dog. Amen? Some people just don't care about... You know, we as fathers need to have some care of our children. It's not enough to be a boss. It's not enough to say, do it right. You don't need to be provoking your children to wrath. You need to use good common sense. You need to be careful about the rules that you make. You need to be careful about the discipline that you pass out. You need to be careful about the reasonableness. You need to be careful whether or not you respect them as an adult. And they're getting to be adults a whole lot younger today than they ever were before. They're adults a whole lot younger today than they were when I was growing up. I mean, I couldn't borrow any money. I couldn't hardly get a decent job until I got to be 21. I had to get permission to get married. They're growing up a whole lot faster today than they used to. That means your time to do anything with them is a whole lot shorter. And they got a whole lot more opportunity than they ever had in their lives. More opportunity than ever before. More opportunity for sin. More opportunity for education. More opportunity to do 1,000 different things. Provoke not your children to wrath. You know, we need to be careful. There's a whole lot of children out there that are provoked. I teach them all the time. And daddy's just going to shove their way down their throat without any reasonableness, without any care. Hey, daddy. Evidently, the reason why this is in the Bible is because a lot of daddies have done it. Well, don't be one that does. Be one that can listen. That doesn't mean you don't make decisions. You make them. You need to be somebody that can listen. You need to have a little care and a little heart, a little concern. Provoke not your children to wrath. Now, that's the negative side of it. Don't provoke your children to wrath. You think if you're a daddy, your kid's never going to get mad at you? That's a joke. What happens when you tell somebody they can't have what they want? I don't care how you prayed about it. I don't care how long you agonized over it. You tell somebody they can't have something they want. Boy, some of them are going to get mad at you. Some of them are going to blame you. Some of them going to accuse you. You're going to have to get a hide a little bit tough, sort of like a pasture. Hide like a rhinoceros, man. Get a thick hide. Do the best you can possibly do. Make the decision you're going to make. Just because somebody says, well, you made me mad, that doesn't mean you were wrong. Maybe you need to tell them they were wrong. Maybe you need to stand up for your rights anyway. Maybe you need to be truthful and honest. And sometimes you have to stand even when they don't like it. That's not provoking them to wrath. Just because they get mad at you because you made a decision doesn't mean you provoked them to wrath. That kid can get mad at you and know you're right. Never admit it, but know you're right. So you're going to have to take responsibility for doing the right thing. And that right thing is not just the best thing for you. It's not just what suits your fancy, but it's what's best for that child. What's best for that child. What's best for your whole family. Maybe what you're doing right now isn't the best thing for that child. Maybe it's the best thing for the whole family. You're a daddy. You have responsibilities for the wife, for all the children, every one of them. You make your decisions, but the responsibility is yours. Now he told you a positive thing to do. Bring them up. Bring them up in the nurture. You know what nurture is, don't you? You feed them right. You feed them right. He said, nurture and admonition of the Lord. And we're not talking about physical food. I would think you're pretty bad if you didn't give your family decent food. You got to spend your money on beer and cigarettes and hunting guns and hunting dogs and your family's not eating right. You got a big boat in the driveway and your wife's going around with holes in her socks and shoes. Something wrong with you. But I'm not dealing with that right now. I'm talking more about spiritual admonition. Admonition of the Lord, the nurture of the Lord. How about being nurtured mentally, spiritually? I told a lady here a year or so ago, she ought to leave the church she's in. No, she couldn't do that. I said, well, what you're in isn't any good for you, and it's not any good for your kids. Well, there's a lot of people think you're crazy when you talk like that. Yeah. And, of course, I'm on the fanatic fringe, people think. I think I'm fairly moderate, you know. Yeah. Some people think, well, I'm way out over here, you know, strong right field. You know, I see a lot of people right of me. I mean, you know, but at any rate... some people sort of think I'm way out of here, but even if I am, man, some of these people are sitting way over here. And then they wonder why their kids get turned off. They get turned off because a preacher doesn't believe the book he's supposed to be preaching. They get turned off because they don't live a consistent life. They get turned off because they don't see anybody real. You're going to bring up the nurture of the Lord? You better get them to a place where they get God's word.
Amen.
You better get them to a place where the preaching's true. You better get them to a place where you got some preachers that have some grip and can stand.
Amen.
You better get them to a place where they know what sin is and can take a stand.
Amen.
I went to that thing on AIDS and I thought about it. I keep thinking about it. And I'm just thrilled that educators and doctors and nurses and others are coming to the place saying, hey, you better abstain from all this sexual promiscuity.
Amen.
You know what I told him? I said, man, you're saying what fundamental preachers have been saying for years. But in many churches, while fundamentalists for the last 25 years were saying, look, this supposed sexual revolution and the pill and penicillin hasn't changed God's law, and you're going to pay a price for all this sexual sin, There were preachers in pulpits, supposedly Christian pulpits, that said it was all right to have affairs. They were good for your marriage. And it was situational ethics. Everything's all right anyway. You better get out of some churches.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
It'd be an honor to be kicked out of some place.
Amen.
Sometimes it's a great honor to you to walk away from something, no matter what anybody else thinks. Bring them up in the nurture of the Lord. Have people say, well, I talked to them what was right. They didn't take them to church. Didn't take them to church. Didn't go with them to church. Didn't read the Bible in the home. Kids never saw you pray. Never saw you crack that black book. They see you watch television. They see you hunting fish. They see you inching the lawn. They see you making money. But they don't see you on your face praying, oh God, save my children. They don't see you down, oh God, put your gospel out around the world. They don't see you down. Well, the Bible says it's sure hard to do, but we're going to do it. They don't see your money going into the gospel of Jesus Christ. They see your money going into everything for you. You're bringing them up in the nurture of the Lord? Give me a break, man. Somebody not thinking straight. You know, I've never left school. I'm just a perpetual student. I grew up, went to school. I had a ball going to school. I don't know, some of you guys hate school. I always had a ball. I did what I wanted to do. I had a good time. I went to college. Finished college, went back to teaching school. I'm a school teacher. I'm with young minds all the time. You know one thing I know about young people? They can spot a hypocrite a mile away.
That's right. Amen.
They smell them like adults. You think your kids can't tell whether you're real or not? They may not like what you do. They may not agree with what you do. They may not even accept your stand. You think they can't smell you out? They can smell you out. They can spot you a mile away. I've told them what's right. I've shown them what's right. I've lived a good life before them. I hope you do. I hope you do. She said, bring them up in the nurture of the Lord. You need to feed them on God's word. You need to bring them up in the house of the Lord. That ought to be a good house of the Lord too. Ought to be a good house of the Lord. They're going to cost me something to go to a place like that. Yes, it will. Let me tell you what. It will cost you to stay at a good place. A whole lot of places out there doesn't cost you anything. Doesn't cost you anything. But I tell you what. You go to a place where it costs you something. It makes a difference. Makes a difference. Nurture the Lord. How about that old Bible? Is it in your mind? You read any of it? You say, I'm not a reader. I bet you read the newspaper. I'm not a reader. I bet you read a funny book. I'm not a reader. Oh, I bet you read novels. I'm not a reader. I bet you read books at work, on your job. Don't give me that. I'll tell you what you probably are. I bet you're a television addict. I bet you know the movies. I bet you can tell the sports things. You couldn't quote the golden rule. I saw a thing on TV. I just remember seeing a little part of it. And they had on a whole bunch of people asking them to what the golden rule was. One guy says, make all the money you can. I mean, they had about 15 or 20 people that just asked question after question. I didn't remember what station it was on. But I saw it. And they asked the guys what the golden rule was. Nobody knew. They didn't have any idea. They just didn't know. Can you imagine 75 years ago? 75 years ago, ask any lost man in this nation what the golden rule was, he'd tell you.
Yeah.
Well, we've had a generation change. Listen to me. You're going to bring them up in the nurture of the Lord. There's only one way you're going to be able to do it. You've got to put this book in front of them. You got to put this book in front of them. You got to believe it. And you know, there's a big generation of supposed fundamental Christians today that don't believe this book I got in my hands.
Amen. That's right.
They preach everything else. Oh, they'll tell you they believe the Bible and it's as originally given. Boy, that's a paper tiger.
Yeah.
As originally given? Have you got anything original? Let me tell you. Whatever this was written on originally disappeared a long time ago. Disappeared a long time ago. So if you believe in the verbal inspiration of an original scriptures, my friend, you haven't got much if you don't have anything that you can hang on to today. I don't correct this book in my hands. It's a King James Bible. Authorized version. 1611. It's the old one. Been around. I don't correct it. I don't change it. I don't improve it. My kids know it. I may not always be right, but if they can prove me wrong by the book, I change. You going to bring them up in the nurture of the Lord? I've had people tell me, well, now, Brother Lindell, we're just not going to be there at night meetings. Why? Because we love our children so much, and we want them to get good grades in school and want them in bed before 9 o'clock at night. I said, I'd rather my kids made C's. Don't listen to me, kids. I'd rather my kids made C's in school and A's before God.
Amen.
I'd rather my kids knew how to pray Didn't got enough sleep at night. I'd rather my kids were sleepy at first period and fourth period in school and knew what the people were praying for at the church and got their own hearts up and prayed with them, then make A's and end up going to college and making all sorts of money. Do you understand me?
Amen.
I want my kids to learn how to give. I want my kids to learn how to pray. That's the nurture of the Lord.
Amen.
I want them to love God. I want them to know I love God.
Amen.
I want them to come up loving God. There's some things more important than others. There's just some things more important than others. Bring them up in the nurture of the Lord. How are you going to do that? Well, I'll tell you, the only way you're going to do it, you're going to have to eat some yourself. Thy words were found, and I didn't eat them. Amen. Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. I'm called by thy name, O Lord of hosts. Hallelujah!
Amen.
Where will your children spend eternity? You're going to bring them up in the nurture of the Lord? You've been raised in the house of God where you've learned the Bible from the time you were a child. You've been taken to church by your family. You lived with a family that had the Bible in the house, read the Bible, did their best to order their lives by the Bible. You are so richly blessed you cannot imagine.
Amen.
You know those people out there don't have that? They don't have that. There's a lot of you sitting right in here. You look back at your life, you did not have that. You were raised up to get all you could get. You saw cheating, lying, adultery, drinking, drunkenness, dope addiction. You're raised up with all sorts of trash. God, by his mercy, saved you. Praise God.
Amen.
You want your kids raised the same way you are and hope for God's mercy? Not me. Not me. No, 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 no. I'm not going to leave that to chance. I have other people telling me, and I hear this. Well, now, Brother Lendl, you know, I believe everybody ought to make their own choices, especially about religion. Uh-huh. You teach them that thing about money. You teach them that about jobs. You teach them that about who they're going to marry. You teach them that about, oh no, no, you don't do that. Oh, when it comes to religion, we'll be real broad-minded about this thing.
Yeah.
You know why? Because you don't know the truth.
Yeah, that's right.
Because you don't want the truth. Because if you knew Jesus Christ was the only way, and if you knew that most of these churches out here are not teaching the truth, you couldn't say that.
Yeah.
You couldn't say that. You know why you can say that? Because you don't care. You don't love them very much. Oh, you know how much I love my children. How can you accuse me of not loving my children? I just do what the Bible says. Let me tell you something, friend. You're going to bring them up in the nurture of the Lord, then they're going to need to know Christ as Savior. Can I guarantee if you bring them to a good church, they'll know Christ as Savior? No, I can't. There are going to be some people that listen to the gospel all their life and never get saved. Listen to it, have it as plain and clear as possible, and never get saved. I talk to people, I've been an evangelist, I've been a missionary, I've been a pastor of churches, and I've been lots of things. And I've talked to people, I sit and talk to their door and say, well, my mother was this, and my daddy was this, and my grandparents were this, and that's why I'm going to die. I know it's wrong, but I'm going to die. And I think, what a foolish statement. Your poor daddy's rotting in hell right now, and you're going to go follow him. Out of some warped pride of family, or warped pride in your own mind to your daddy or mother, if your daddy is in hell tonight, he doesn't want you to follow him.
That's right.
I can take you to Luke chapter 16. You can find that out.
Amen.
One man down there, Jesus has pulled back hell a little bit and said, I got five brothers. Send somebody to them so they don't come to the same place.
Amen.
If you, by the grace of God, have found Jesus Christ as your Savior, you ought to want that for your children.
Amen.
You ought to want your children to follow you. So fathers, bring them up in the nurture of the Lord. That means the Word of God. Then he says, admonition of the Lord. You know, I've got a reputation of being hard. I'm really a pussycat. I used to call me kitty cat. I mean, you know. The truth is, I really don't like to rebuke. I don't even like to confront my own children. Do you know that? My children wouldn't believe that. But that's the truth. The honest truth is, when I've got to deal with some issue, I have to do just like you do. Oh, me. What do I say? How do I do it right? How do I let them know I love them at the same time I'm... Yeah? That's the truth. And sometimes after I've rebuked them, after I've cut them down, after I've chopped them to pieces, I've gone off and cried. Gone off and said, oh Lord, make it right. Let what I do be right. Make it best for them. And if I made a mistake, you overcome. But they not only need the nurture of the Lord, they need the admonition.
Amen.
They need the correction. I raised up a lot of preachers here too. And you don't know how hard it is for me to go to somebody and say, hey man, that was pitiful. I mean, that was absolutely pitiful. What did they get from what you just gave? Did anybody walk out of here and know anything about salvation? But I will do it. There's a few that testify to that.
I will do it. I may lose sleep a couple of nights before and a couple of nights after, but I will do it. And you're going to have to do it as a daddy. You're going to have to say, son, you can't do this. Even if he misunderstands. Even if he thinks you're kicking him out of the house. You're not kicking him. You say, look, you're just not going to bring that into my house. I had to take mine when they got grown and speak to them and say, look, I've got an order in my family. You're grown. You can do as you please, but you can't do it in my house. You're going to do it, you're going to have to get out on your own and do it, because you're not going to bring it into my house. Sometimes kids have a hard time accepting that wall. You're kicking me out. No, I'm not kicking you out. I'm telling you, you can't bring your deck of cards in my house. You can't bring your cigarettes in. You can't bring your booze in my house. If you're going to live that way, you're not going to live that way here. I'm not going to support your head. Yeah. Those things aren't easy to do. It isn't easy to take someone who's doing, they're trying, they're doing their best, and you have to go to them and say, look, you just can't do this. But you know what your kids need? They need two sides of that same coin. They need the love, the nurture, and the admonition, and they need the rebuke.
Amen.
And the correction.
Amen.
They gotta have them both.
Amen.
Or they grow up unnatural.
That's right.
Some of these kids just have their way. Nobody ever crosses their path. All of a sudden they get married to somebody else who had their way all the time. Boy, you got a bomb going on. All of a sudden they meet a great big fella in blue, San Antonio's finest, who says, you can't have your way. And then he meet a great big judge dressed in black. He said, you can't have your way. And they put him in a little 8-foot cell and they can't have their way.
Amen.
You know what you best do? You best train them when they're this high. They can't have their way.
Amen.
Why, Daddy? Explain it as best you can. If you can't explain it, there's always, I'm still dad. I say you can't, and I'm still daddy.
Amen.
Maybe you can't understand why right now I won't let you take my 12-gauge shotgun and play with it. You're only 5. But I want it. You do it. How can't I do it? Give me a break. You know, common sense goes a long ways. Do you realize that common, just plain old horse sense, stable thinking?
Yeah.
It goes a long ways. Use your head for something besides hair fertilizer, some of you. My dad always said hair and brains didn't grow on the same head. So the balder you get, the smarter you get. Some of you got too much hair to be smart yet. That's your problem. Listen to me. Common sense. Do you know what these little things are running around like this? Do you know what they are?
They're little people.
They're not just kids, they're not just things.
They're just little people.
Boy, they love and they hate and they like and they want, they desire. They want to be approved of. They want to be cared for. They have a whole universe. Now, every bit of the universe, God and you revolve around them. They're just little people just like you are. And they think wrong and they've got to be taught better. And they feel strongly sometimes and you have to oppose their feelings. Sometimes you have to tell them that's just wrong thinking. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I think of something, boy, it looks like it's going to take me 6 months to finish this.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
But you know what I think? I think when you decided to fall in love with that little 16 or 18-year-old girl, you didn't think anything about kids. That was the last thing right. on your mind. I never planned on having 5 kids and 9 or 10 grandbabies, and I don't know what it's going to be when all of mine get married and produce all they're going to produce. All I did was fall in love with a 16-year-old. Now, all this has happened because of it. Now, the honest truth is, I love it. My family has been a great deal of joy to me. My wife, my children, my grandchildren are a great deal of joy to me. But you know something? Just the joy, they're also a lot of work. Boy, they put pressure on me. The pressure finally came to me to quit hunting. That's true. In my case, I finally had to put my family above what it cost me to hunt. I never liked fishing. Some of you know me as a fisherman. I didn't like fishing. I didn't like fishing when I started fishing. I could take my whole family fishing several times for what it cost me to hunt. And I didn't have enough money to do it all. So I quit hunting and took up fishing. Now you're going to have to make some decisions in your life. You know, my kids have changed me. You know, I felt like when I got married, I was the big macho man. I got this little woman here. She stays home washing my clothes. And I come in and she cooks my meal and you know, I'm going to go out and hunt and fish and spend all my weekends out. Well, she taught me very quickly that wasn't going to work.
I can remember her about 7-8 months pregnant, man, sitting in the front seat with a spotlight with five men shooting rabbits in the deserts of New Mexico, you know. You ain't going out without me. Hey, women, stick with him. Hey, men, stick with him. Put it together. Boy, some changes. And then that little one came along. That's going to be just fun and games. No big deal. Boy, do they change your life. I mean, here you are at 2 o'clock in the morning. You got to be kidding me. You never believed you'd change a messy diaper, did you? You never did, did you? They're going to change your life. All of a sudden, you can't do what you thought you were going to do. You can't do it like you wanted to do it. Buddy, they bring a change into your life. But it's one of the best things that ever happened to me.
Amen.
I love my children. I have 2 great sons. I have 3 great daughters. They're not alike. They're 5 individuals. Very independent individuals, all 5 of them. Maybe that's because their daddy and mother raised them that way. But all 5 of them love the Lord.
Yeah.
All 5 of them, as best I know the Lord. And I'm very proud of every one of them. But they've changed my life. I don't get away from them. And I never will. They'll get away from me, but I won't get away from them. Now, you've got a responsibility. You got that little child there? Oh, it's fun and games. Oh, yeah, it's a lot of fun. Hey, you don't leave him when he gets this high and when he gets this high and looks down on you. No. Your life's changed. What's your responsibility? Get him as close to God as you can get him.
Amen. Amen.
Whatever it takes. You got to change your lifestyle. You got to change your job. You got to change your habits. You got to change your practices. Get him as close to God as you can get him.
Amen.
Bring him up in the nurture of the Lord. Bring them up in the admonition of the Lord. And what I'd tell you, and I got a long ways to go on this message, what I'd tell you is, I get on my face before God and pray for mercy every day.
Amen.
I'd pray for God to correct every one of my mistakes, and I made plenty of them. I spanked kids when they didn't need to be spanked. I let kids off when they didn't need to be let off. I've made wrong judgments about 1,000 times. I've been in the wrong attitude 1,000 times. I just keep going back to doing the best you can do and pray. And the best you can do is after you understand this book, not the best you can do in your own imagination.
Yes, amen.
The best you can do according to knowledge of this book.
Amen.
Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.